You better be careful what you gaze on, David, because I'm going to tell you something. If you're looking there, you're probably going there. So don't gaze on anything that's not in your future. If it's not in your future, just don't gaze on it. Just leave it alone. Say, this is not for me. That may be beautiful. She may be beautiful, but that's not for me. He may be all of that in a bag of chips, but he's not for me. I want to preach right now. Somebody's problem here this morning is not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's people. And I love people, but there are some times you have to say, I love you. I love you, but I can't go there with you. If you don't want to come, I can't stay. I got my eyes on the prize, and I want to make heaven. And if you want to go, baby, let's go. Let's go. I'm more than willing to hold your hand, but listen, if you don't, if you're all entangled by the cares of this life, well, God bless you. I hope it works out for you, but my mind is made up. Hallelujah. I've counted the cost. Hear me, somebody. I don't want to be lost. There's nothing or no person worth going to hell over. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I'm here to tell you, you need to leave people alone. If they want to go that direction, God never begged anybody to follow him. I'm not a beggar, I am a believer. And listen, if I got to beg you to come, I'll have to beg you to stay. But if it's in your heart, I have decided to follow Jesus. I made a choice. Come on, somebody. I didn't get in this to get out. I got in this to go all the way. Look at your neighbor and say, let's go all the way. Where are we going to? Let's go to heaven together. Let's go to heaven together. Anybody decided to follow Jesus? Father, thank you. For the next few minutes, would you just anoint our minds and our mouth and our hearts to receive your word today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. You can be seated. There was a tiger and he was hungry. And he started to chase after the scent of a deer. He followed the deer for a little while, and then he got caught up in the scent of a rabbit. He turned aside, and he started chasing after the rabbit. And then he was distracted by the scent of a mouse and started following the mouse. But eventually, the mouse vanished, and he ended the day hungrier than when he had started the day. That really demonstrates how a lot of people live their life. They start out chasing one thing and get distracted, and then they chase another and get distracted, and they chase another and get distracted, and they end up living a life of barren regrets because they never focused on what God has called them to do. Can I just preach for a few minutes? The enemy of all of our souls this morning wants every one of us to live distracted. We are living in a very shallow and a very superficial world. How many know that's the truth? And the world, in this world, we have so many distractions around us. How many know that when you try to pray, your mind gets distracted? How many know when you try to study, somebody comes in and cuts the TV on? How many know when you're trying to read the word, that's when your phone blows up? For the rest of you, you need to get real. I'm telling you, we live in a world of distraction. Come on, you got to make a decision to put your phone down, to put it on silent. I'm not going to reach out to the urgent. I'm going to focus on the important. I got to make sure that I've had some quality time with the Lord today. Because if you're not careful, the world will bring you so many distractions, you'll find yourself falling in bed at 11 o'clock exhausted, having taken care of the urgent and not taking care of the important. I'm talking to all of us, your pastor included, about what are you focused on? The enemy wants you to live distracted. Why? Because when you are distracted, eventually you become discouraged. Have you ever at the end of the day literally became discouraged because you look back after 10 hours and said, what did I accomplish? and you got discouraged just going to bed because you were distracted the whole day, and you're like, I lived this whole day and got nothing accomplished. That's exactly what the enemy wants for you. He wants you to be so distracted that you get discouraged. Distracted about your health. Distracted about relationships. Distracted about what's going on in your life. Distracted about who's up and who's down and who's in and who's out and who's saying what. Listen, God didn't call you to be a fireman to go and put out every little fire of somebody talking about you. They talked about Jesus. He wasn't cold. He was just calculated. Don't go where you're tolerated. Go where you're celebrated. Come on, somebody. Quit worrying about what everybody else says. People are going to talk about you if you know too much, do too much, and have too much. Can I say it again? People are going to talk about you if you know too much, do too much, and have too much. Come on, they never build a statue to a critic. But they built a statue to Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. They built statues to men that made it happen. There's a lot of people that sit on the sideline that are quarterback. They sit in their lazy boy and they quarterback and talk about how Brady could have done this better. Let me tell you something. If you had four or five guys that are about 350 apiece and are about 6'6 running in your face, I guarantee you, you couldn't do it any better. Oh, some of you think you could. I can see. Some of you are like, yes, I could. No, you probably couldn't. Well, maybe you could. But listen, let me just tell you something. It's easy to sit on the sideline and tell everybody else how they could do it better. Yeah. Yeah. Can I get a witness in this house? Yeah. And if you're not careful, you'll get distracted by all of that. Don't go there. Don't go there, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? Paul said, this one thing I do. This one thing, not 100 things I dabble in, not 50 things I try to get off the ground, but this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind me and I press. Somebody shout press. Listen, you can be saved on purpose, but you can be lost by accident. If you're saved, it's because you're intentional. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not going to get distracted by the right or the left. Come on, somebody. The more you focus your life, the more your life is going to have an impact. You want your life to have an impact. You want your life to be an inspiration. Then get it focused. A flashlight is one light, but a laser is focused light. And a laser can do way more than just a flashlight can do. Why? Because it's concentrated light. It's amplified light. It's focused light. This is not about hocus pocus. This is about focus. The power of focus. Focus your life in the direction that God wants you to go. This is not even about what your friends want for you. I have decided I'm going to focus on making heaven my goal. Jesus is a great example of the power of focus. When he was only 12 years of age, in the book of Luke 2 and 49, Jesus said this, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. At 12 years of age, he already knew his focus. I got to be about my Father's business. And then at the end of his life, in John 17 and 4, in a different translation, it says this. Here's what some of the last words of Jesus recorded in the gospel. He said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. Jesus said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. What does that mean? Does that mean that Jesus healed everybody that was sick? No. Does that mean that every Jew under Jesus' ministry was converted to Christianity? No. Did that mean that every person that came around Jesus heard the good news? No. It meant that he did what God called him to do. And when he finished, his work was done. In 3.5 years, it was done. It was finished. He accomplished his life mission, which was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why you don't want to compare yourself to anybody else, because on both spectrums, it's wrong. If you compare yourself to somebody else and you're doing better than them, that's pride. If you compare yourself and you're not doing as good as them, that's discouragement. And neither one of those serve you well. So you just have to focus, what has God called me to do, and stay focused on that and let God take care of everybody else. Can I get a witness? Here's what that means. It means this, that there are many things that you can do, but you can't do everything. I'm going to say that again. There are many things that you can do, but you can't do everything. What does that mean? It means that God doesn't expect you to do everything. I told you once, and I'm going to keep telling you, there's no way that we can have the church that God wants us to have with one man or one woman. Can't. It's impossible. One man and one lady can only handle so much. Can't do it. We understand that when it comes to sports. We understand that the pitcher can't be the catcher, and the catcher, he can't play outfield and right field at the same time. But sometimes we come to a spiritual sense and we expect one man or one woman to do it all. Brothers and sisters, not even Jesus could do it all. That's why you are so important. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you are so important. That was cheesy. Tell them like you mean it. Come on. You are so important. Why? Because you know people that nobody else knows. You have influence on somebody that nobody else has influence on. It is very important that you don't get distracted in this final hour and lose out with God. But you say, I'm staying focused because I have influence. I want my life to make an impact. I want to take somebody to heaven with me. What are you focused on? Let me tell you something. You say, well, there's too many hypocrites in the church. If you focus on that, you're going to find what you're looking for. I'll never forget a precious lady. Her name was Janie Deshawn. I was about 14 years of age in Cleveland, Texas. And I was going through a rough patch. And Janie come up alongside me. I love her to this day. And she said, Wayne, she said, let me share something with you. And I said, okay, Janie, what is it? She said, if I were to give you a trunk of gold coins and half of them were real and the other half were fake, would it be worth your time to find the real? I got to thinking about that. Yes, it would. It would be worth my time to find the real. Can I tell you, there's fake pastors and real pastors. There's good lawyers, maybe, and bad lawyers. There's good doctors and bad doctors. There's good and bad in almost every situation and every group of people. But what you're looking for is what you're going to find. If you're looking for the hypocrite and if you're looking for an excuse, you can find one. But if you make up in your mind, I'm going to focus on Jesus. He is the author. He started this story and he's going to finish this story. And I'm not going to get focused on a lot of other things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Tim Fargo said this, if you doubt the power of focus, try riding two bicycles at once. That's good. Say, how do I get focused, Pastor? Decide what your values are. You got to decide, am I going to please God or am I going to please people? Who do I want to please? Come on. Some of you really won't worship because you're afraid of what your neighbor's going to say. Then when you get to heaven, God's going to say, why didn't you worship me? Some of you young people are more concerned about looking cute than you are about giving your life totally to God. And when you get up to heaven, God's going to say, what was you trying to look cute for? In the end, I'm your judge, not them. In the end, it's about pleasing me, not them. In the end, it's about walking with me, not them. Come on, somebody. Peer pressure is causing some of you to fold like a cheap tent. You got to decide what you want to do and who you are and where you're going. I have decided. Come on, somebody. Are you going to live by your feelings? If you live by your feelings, you'll never exercise. If you live by your feelings, you'll eat that big old piece of chocolate cake at 10 o'clock at night. Come on, somebody. If you live by your feelings, you'll never walk a mile. Come on. You got to decide, am I going to live by my feelings or am I going to live by the faith of God? Am I going to live by how I feel tomorrow? Listen, if you live by your feelings, you'd probably never mow your grass. If you live by your feelings, you'd probably never get up and go to work. Then why do you come on a Sunday morning and live by your feelings? Can I preach this morning? If God never blessed any of us again, and I pray he does, but if he didn't, he's been so good to every one of us that every opportunity we have to praise him, we ought to let it be known. Look at three people and tell them God's been mighty good to me. You know that's the truth. I can preach right now because had it not been for the grace of God, some of you would be an alcoholic today. Some of you would be strung out on drugs. Some of you would be sleeping under a bridge in Lake Charles. Some of you wouldn't be here today because of the goodness and the grace of God. You can stand and say, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was enchained by sin, but now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God for his grace. I'm going to tell you a true story. This is a true story. Several years ago, my family and I decided to go on a cruise. And then from that cruise, we landed in Rome, Italy. And so we had never been on a cruise before, never. And I was pretty apprehensive because I'm a little quirky. And I just didn't think I could stay on no boat for 7 days without going crazy. So, man, I listened to people who'd gone on cruises and I got their advice. Jan and I, we listened and we decided, okay, these people, they probably know what they're talking about. But obviously, they didn't go on the cruise we went on. And obviously, they didn't go to the same places we went to. Because here's what they told us. You need to pack some casual things. And then you need to pack some formal things. And if you get an opportunity to swim, you might want to pack, something to swim in. And so, literally, we packed from formal to casual to swimwear. And I'm not exaggerating. I've got three people as my witness. We all, me, Janet, Trey, and Molly, loaded down two bags like this. Big old, thick, honking bags that barely, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, we had to take some out of one bag and put it in another because this one was over the 80-pound limit. And am I telling the truth, love? Am I stretching it a little? Trey, am I stretching it a little? Little? I come too far to start lying now. Well, I'm going to just tell you this. Here's the way I saw it. When we got all of our bags off and the driver come to see, he almost wanted to run away. He's like, that small family is carrying all that luggage? Yeah. And then guess what? Nobody told us that the hotels in Europe are about this big. No, everybody failed to tell us that. So when we got into our room, you got to imagine four bags. So here's what we're doing, and we're moving bags to get around. Because the rooms are so small. Here's what we learned from that. You better take what is only necessary. Because guess what? Where you're going, you're going to have to take it all with you. You better focus on where you're going and what you're going to need. Because after a while, packing all of this gets mighty heavy. Can I preach to somebody? I'm going to tell you what isn't an exaggeration. We all came home and said, none of us will pack like that again. We all said, we're going to take one bag and one bag only. And if we have to, we'll find a washateria and we'll wash our clothes. But we ain't taking a bunch of stuff. You know why? Because when you get in a race, how many have ever seen somebody in a race carrying a suitcase? Oh, Lord, help me to preach right now. Some of you this morning, this is what you're carrying everywhere around you. And you're wondering, why am I struggling in this race? Why am I feeling so weighted down and so heavy-hearted? Because you're carrying a lot of stuff from your past that you don't need to be carrying anymore. My Bible tells me this, that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Come on, somebody. You don't need to be carrying some of that stuff you're carrying. Can I keep preaching? Here's what the Apostle Paul, he says, he likens the Christian life to running a race. That's found in Hebrews 12 and 1. And we all know that running a race is hard enough when you're running light. But it's more difficult and often impossible if you're trying to run while you're lugging around extra stuff. My assignment today, and all the love in my heart, is just to remind every one of us, all of you sweet people, that life is difficult enough, especially in this chaotic culture that we're living in. You and I are going to have to lay aside everything except what is absolutely necessary. Why is that? Because the stakes are of winning or losing this race are far higher than any Olympic competition. Winning your race is going to require you to focus. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, run so that you may obtain the prize. You're going to have to carefully examine what you're wearing and what you are carrying. Those who are running a race don't wear wool suits. They don't wear rubber boots. They don't wear top hats. In fact, if you've ever seen an Olympic runner, they don't wear much. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's like, Lord, I want to see this race, but help me. Or, my God. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know why? Because they understand I'm running this race and I can't carry all this baggage and win. Who am I preaching to today? You can't carry the approval of a mama and daddy that you could never get, and still at 45 still wanting the approval of a mom and daddy that's never going to give it to you. You can't get an I'm sorry from an uncle that molested you, that's gone on to be with the Lord or whatever his reward may hold, and try to get him to say I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. And you have to decide, am I going to carry that baggage around with me? Am I going to carry my rejection and my abuse and my disappointments and my hurts and my habits and my hangups? Or will I lay aside every weight that does so easily beset me, and I focus on the one thing that I want? Come on, somebody. See the weights? I need to just slow up just a minute and tell you this. The weights and the sins. Here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. The weights and the sins that does so easily beset you. If you really study that out, what you're going to find out is the context that he's writing it in, he or she, whomever, is wrong beliefs. It's really in the context of what it's talking about. We have to lay aside the weights. What is the weights? It's the wrong beliefs that are holding us back from running our race, Wrong beliefs like you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not educated enough, your parents told you you would never be enough, you've been damaged goods, you've been abused, you've been molested, you've been done wrong, people's lied about you, ridiculed you, talked about you. You got to lay aside those old beliefs that will hold you back. And that's why I have been encouraging you to find your identity in Christ. It's not what other people say about me. It's what he says about me. I am a child of God. I am a friend of God. I have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of me. Look at three people and tell them, lay aside every weight and sin. You know why the enemy wants you to sin? Because sin causes you to be distracted. Sin causes you to fall under condemnation. Sin causes you not to raise your hands because you remember what you did Saturday night. I'm not talking about we need to go out and sin on Saturday. But what I am saying is if you do mess up, thank God for the grace of God. Don't let the devil keep beating you up. Don't run further from Calvary. Run to Calvary and say, God, here I am again. But I thank you for your grace. I'm going to stay focused on this race. I'm not going to back up, let up, sit down, shut up. I'm going to go all the way. Some of you need to lay down the blame game. I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. I was going to the door, and I opened up the door, and I was walking out. I wasn't walking out on our marriage, but I was walking outside, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as plain as day, and this is what it says. Wayne, if you keep score, you're going to lose your marriage. You know why? Because I was tagging along what Janet did to me. Oh, it just got real. And guess what? It's easy for Janet to tag along what Wayne did to her. Because guess what? We've all hurt one another. We've all fallen short of what God intends us to be. I'm not going to stand up here and act to you like I'm some perfect person that has arrived. No, guess what? I have to continue to go back and lay it aside. I have to continue to go back and lay it down. I have to continue to remind myself I'm not keeping score in this marriage. I am to love Janet as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Can I get a witness? Lay down the blame game. If you separate B from lame, guess what you get? B lame. Guess what you are when you're blaming? You are being lame. Guess the next thing. It's hard to run a race when you're lame. Because you're blaming everybody. If my daddy, if my mama, if my teacher, if my brother, if my sister, if my ex-wife. Guess what? It's happened. It's in the past. Lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset you. And focus your life. Oh, my Lord. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? Well, there's many ways, but one way you can do it is number one, just as much as you write a to-do list, you should develop a not-to-do list. Yeah, right. Come on. That's right. See, the people who make the most difference in the world are people who are the most focused. They focus their lives around a few goals, not 20 goals. If you don't live by priorities, you're going to be managed by your pressures. I'm going to say that again. If you don't live by your priorities, you're going to be managed by your pressures. I'm not being rude, but I am being focused. My phone is turned off from 6 a.m. to 12. That's why you normally can't reach me from 6 a.m. to 12 because my phone is turned off. Why? Because if I keep my phone beside me, it distracts me. And I must have time with the Lord. I've got to protect the anointing on my life. Because I understand I am not enough without him. But with him and with the anointing and with the focus, then something impactful doubtful can happen. But you know what? You know whether the fighter has really trained when he gets in the ring. When he gets in the ring, you know he's been up jumping rope at 5 a.m. And I want you to know, when I step to this pulpit, I want you to feel an anointing. I want you to know that pastor has been in the presence of Almighty God. But you can't do it living a distracted life. I'm not pinning roses on myself. I'm just telling you that you have to make up your mind. Guess what? The phone, the TV, Facebook, social media, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, family, friends, nothing is going to come between me and my focus on Him. I got to quit. Paul said this. Paul said, I want to know Him. He said, not only do I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection, but I want to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering. I'm going to go through this real quick. I could take another 15 minutes, but I'm not. Number one, focus on a person that has impacted your life. I focus and I study the life of Jesus because no one has changed the world more than Christ. So focus on a person who has inspired you and impacted you. Number one, that's Jesus. Another man that's truly impacted me is T.F. Tenney. What inspired me so much about T.F. Tenney is that 82 years of age, he was still reading, still growing, still learning. Realized he never would arrive. That inspired me. There's other men and women that I could call their names, but for the sake of time, I won't. So find out a person who inspires you, because normally if that person inspires you, there's something in them that resonates with you. Find a person. Focus on a person that inspires you. Second, focus on a purpose. Hear me. Stay focused here. Listen. There's only ordinary men and women. Oh, they're great people. No, there's not. There's no. There's only ordinary people that give themselves to a great cause. I could give you example after example. You say, oh, they're great. Listen, they started out in their mother's womb just like you did. They weren't born into this world great. They gave themselves to a purpose and a cause. And through that, they became great men and great women. Give yourself, find a purpose that is bigger than yourself. Remember, I say this all the time. It's easy to make a buck. It's a lot more difficult to make a difference. Why? Because so many people are focused in on making a buck. Life is way more than being born, getting educated, going to a job, earning some money, buying some toys, retiring and then expiring. Life's way more than that. Give yourself to a purpose that is bigger than you. Here's the third thing you should focus on. The prize. The prize. Do you know why young men and young women train for 4 years? They want to win a prize. What is the prize? The prize is that gold medal. They want to stand on that stage and they want the world to see them. And all of that hard work for one thing, for a prize. Can I remind all of us that that gold medal is temporal? So what should our prize be? I want to see Him. I want to make heaven. Why? Because that's eternal. And so therefore, I don't get rocked by this world's values because I'm not running for a temporal prize. I'm not running from a gold medallion around my neck. I'm running to hear three words: good, faithful servant. Amen. And here's the last thing as you're standing. You want to focus on people. Focus your life on God. Focus your life on a purpose that is bigger than you. Focus your life on the prize, because you got to keep coming back to, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I living this disciplined life? Because I don't want a harvest of barren regrets. And then when you get those three things in alignment, then you focus on people. And you don't walk into a room and say, what can I get? You walk into a room saying, what can I give? Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I don't know exactly who this was for. Maybe it was just for me. But I do believe it was for someone. Someone in here this morning, their problem is not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's not gambling. It's their past. It's the people that they have allowed to attach to their life. And somebody needs to say, I love you. But if you can't go with me, I can't stay. My eye is on the prize. I want to be focused. Oh, hallelujah. Would you right now, if you're a believer, would you slip up your hand right now and just talk to the Lord? Come on, would you lay aside every weight? Come on, it's hard to run this race when you're packing a big old suitcase. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. What you focused on this morning? Are you focused on things you can't change? I'm trying to hurry. I want to help somebody this morning. I want my beautiful honey to come up here. I want to help somebody. Jen and I made a decision, as I've told you many times, we're not going to hide our pain and shame. We're going to use our pain for your gain. So many times I stayed frustrated because I was trying to change Janet to be like me. And it got so bad that I had to go to a counselor, Janet and I both. We went to counseling. And I had to decide, am I going to try to make Janet like me, or am I going to let her be who God created her to be? And you know what? I'm going to just confess to you. There are still times that I try to make her like me, but then I remind myself, God didn't ask her to be like me. He created her with everything that she needs, her gifts, her talents, her personalities. And it's up to me to just love her and accept her for who she is. Because then guess what? I quit keeping score. And then I can focus on what I can give to her, not what I'm trying to take from her. Did that make sense? See, some of you are staying so frustrated because you're trying to change people. And guess what? You can't change people. That's why I'm not going to frustrate myself trying to change you. I hope to inspire you, and I hope to you see something in me and Janet that resonates in you, and you say, I want some of that. I want to be a little bit like that. Then guess what? We just inspired you. But to try to change you, I can't do that. You know why? Because not even God can do that if you don't let him. You got to come to him and say, Lord, I know I need to change. Would you help me? I know I can't do this by myself. Would you help me? I wonder if there's any honest folk that would step out of your pew and say, God, help me to get refocused on what I need to focus on. Help me, oh God, to Lord, just set some things aside, to set some weight, to set some beliefs aside. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, TPC. What are you focused on? You better look where you're going, because you're going where you're looking.